Gerhardt's back.
The more things change, the more they stay the same.
From NJ1015.com, this is the new Jim Gerhardt Podcast.
Well, hello again. I'm Jim Gerhardt, along with Patrick Lavery from the New Jersey 101.5 News Department, executive producer of the morning program. Very impressive, Pat. And you're an impressive person, too, I must say. We're working together for a couple of weeks here. Oh, it is, this is the last day of, when we record this, this is the last day of winter?
Of winter. Spring arrives at 5:58 p.m. Wednesday. So by the time we put this out, spring will be in full swing.
So spring's supposed to be there. Now, if it doesn't come in on time, Dan Zara would drag it in by the heels.
That's right.
So we can count pretty much.
Yeah, Dan Zara will see his shadow for six more weeks. And yeah.
Well, let's hear it for springtime.
Happy, happy, joy, joy.
Do-do-do-doom.
Oh, blessed relief.
I tell you, that especially is true after the...
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Yeah. And we got the, the members of the New Jersey State Legislature are, you're still playing with the pot business.
Yeah. The latest that we have heard on that is they want something decided by Monday. And if it's not decided by Monday, Senate President Steve Sweeney doesn't want to touch it again until after the legislative elections, which will be obviously it's an odd numbered year. So those will be coming up in November.
Now, Eric Scott had a very good piece, who's our news.
Yep.
The grand exalted poobah of the news lodge.
Right.
He had a very nice piece yesterday, as he frequently and generally does, about the legislative machinery, chicanery, whatever going on. And there's so many things nobody knows. According to Eric, there was no public input to this, like there are in many pieces of legislature.
Correct.
There was a very brief one, but then they cut it off.
Mm-hmm.
And during the latest debate on it in the legislature, there was no public input, although there were people there who would like to present some.
Right.
And so all this is going on, like most legislation does, behind the scenes and behind closed doors.
Yeah.
But why? Why the secrecy? I mean, the only thing is deal-making is going on because how many towns now have opted out of this say they're going to?
As of our count earlier in the week, Aaron Vogt did a piece for our website, which has been like gangbusters. People have just flocked to read this article to see if, in fact, their town is on the list and they might not have known about it. So far, by our count, 58 towns. Now, that's more than a tenth of the total number of municipalities in the state, mm-hmm. which is 565. And as of a little bit later in the week, the latest town to be considering this is kind of an interesting choice, an ironic choice that might make you scratch your head. Atlantic City, where, Jim, wouldn't you think Atlantic City is where morals go to die?
But that's a big one, too.
Right.
You would think
mm-hmm.
that they would be chomping on the bit in Atlantic City to get that.
Right, to finally...
The spirit there, the population. And,
well, my goodness, and to finally have some legal drug sales in Atlantic City.
Well, this is one thing that I think it's ironic, it's bad.
Yeah.
That when they start taxing this, that the people are going to find out, the users are going to find out they can get it much cheaper on the illegal market.
Oh,
which is not going to dry up. There's absolutely no way that could happen.
Right. And you and I have talked about this before. This bill, this legislation as written, is not carte blanche. It is not, okay, it's legal, so now you can grow your own in your backyard. No, there's a process that you're going to have to go through if you want to buy legal recreational marijuana.
Okay, but is it legal? Is it still against the law, the federal law?
Well,
and no local law can supersede a federal law.
Right.
So how do you get around that except through wink, wink, nudge, nudge?
Well, exactly. But also, I think that these local statutes that will be on the books, again, 58 towns and growing, I mean, that is going to reduce business substantially because you have some large towns on this list.
Okay, so that is, they will stop, prevent it being sold there.
Right.
I mean, that is all it is.
Yeah,
But then you go to the next town.
Yeah.
And then the next town, these other towns that are left are going to no doubt do a boom business.
You would think so, unless the consumers or the potential consumers find that the trip is not worth the hassle. I mean, in Bergen County, again, this is by our calculations at NJ1015.com, Bergen has the largest number of total municipalities of any county in the state. I think something like 67 or something like that towns in Bergen County. Most of them small enclaves, but 20 in Bergen County already have laws on the books against the sale of recreational pot. So that's, you know, somewhere between a third and a quarter of the total towns in that county said no.
But is there any, or part of these local ordinances, do they deal with actually using the product? Because if you buy it legally in one town,
right,
and then you're smoking it in another one, are you violating the law? Or is this one of those things they haven't worked out yet?
There's still some of them do, most don't. I'll tell you what's interesting, as I was researching this, I think it was yesterday. What's interesting is that some of these ordinances, which again have already been voted on, have had their public hearing periods. I mean, they've been in the works for a while, and many of them have gone onto the books already back in 2018, as soon as Murphy became governor, because he had made that a cornerstone of his campaign. What some of these towns have done is they say, all right, not only are we saying no when recreational marijuana becomes legal in the state, again, obviously not on the federal level, but medical marijuana has been legal in the state for a couple of years now. Mm-hmm. That was under Chris Christie, and we don't want that here either. So now they are taking away the possibility of even opening a medical dispensary in their town. They don't want it at all.
Well, the frenzy to get this up and operating is based on what the members of the legislature don't do anything.
Right,
because it's morally the correct thing to do. It is what is going to get me votes and get me reelected, and what is going to enhance my career. So what is in it for them, other than the fact that they must be perceiving there's a frenzied mob out there who wants this, and if they don't pass something, it's going to be like, remember the old the Great Library at Alexandria? When the early Christians didn't like, they had books in there they didn't like, so they dragged, Hypatia, the librarian out in the streets and scrubbed her to death with clamshells.
Right.
So is Steve Sweeney, fear he's going to be dragged through the streets here over this thing? Are the deals now, see, that's another angle, having watched this for years. If they're trying to get enough votes to do this quickly by Monday, they've got to be making promises to people who are sitting on the fence.
Yes.
And many people will sit on the fence, legislators, just waiting to make a deal, to get something for themselves or their constituents.
Yeah.
And so what's being promised, and how much is this going to cost the taxpayers? So, you know, so much goes on here, and you only see the, I hate to use the tip of the iceberg, that cliche.
Yeah.
But with legislation, that is a fact.
And I think, you know, what you're seeing is the fence analogy I like, because we were just on a conference call a little bit earlier with Michael Simons, our reporter embedded in the State House. And Mike said to us, I think that they need to still swing 5 votes by Monday, which is tough to do, number one. And he says there might be a better than 50-50 chance of that happening, but only slightly. And also, if I had to theorize, and I don't know this for a fact, if I had to theorize one reason why there has not been as much concentration on the public hearings prior to this, it is exactly what you said, is that the legislators already know, or think they know, about this angry mob that wants this to happen. Plus, it gets into what you and I have talked about before, which is lobbyists run everything anyway.
Yes, yeah. And the special interest.
Right.
What I've heard nothing about this, these standards that will be somehow, I assume, they're going to create standards of the degrees of impairment if people are using this.
Right.
First of all, how does the officer know that they are using it? Then how does it, let's say that it's agreed, you can smell it, it's in the car, you see it.
Right.
How do you degree, or in this legislation, is there a scale set up as there is in alcohol, the 0.08 point, you know, whatever.
Right, right.
I don't believe there's anything like that at this point. There's no machine.
Not to my knowledge,
like
no.
a breathalyzer.
Right.
To tell. So how, that would seem like a dangerous situation because you could really just get completely bonkers on it and then go out and drive.
Yeah.
And other than any mayhem you may have caused, they certainly couldn't add that to it.
That's been a major concern. I would think that's probably, I would say it's probably tertiary among, you know, the primary battle that this has come down to is Murphy versus Sweeney and this kind of, you know, like match of wills.
Interscene rooster fighting
right,
going on
between
in the
them.
Senate.
Yeah. The secondary concern is the taxes and how are you going to tax it and how's that going to impact how much people want it. And the third, I think, is exactly that. When you smoke a joint and then you get behind the wheel of a car, how are we measuring how impaired you are?
Well, yes, that's the question.
Yeah.
Don't know. Let's shift gears a little bit. We talked about the Alvarez affair.
Right.
At least I would term it that. This is the person who was position of authority in the campaign of Governor Murphy and then was somehow got a big good job. We don't
right.
know how.
Right.
I got two questions about that. One
okay.
is, if from what we know, nobody hired him.
Right.
And he testified to that. Oh, first of all, we have to clarify your question. You wondered if he actually existed. This is one of the, like, Lieutenant Kiji in the old Russian movie.
Right, right.
Non-existent. But, and everybody went off as if he were. So it's determined that he is real. There is, and he's not a hologram.
Yes, Virginia, there is an Al
yes,
Alvarez.
Yes, Virginia, there is an Al Alvarez. Now, here's something that struck me. We talked about this last week at some length, about his testimony and how the thing that nobody knows that he was hired, he got a $140,000 a year job or something with all
right.
the benefits known to man. Right. How many other people in government are sitting there because they just happened to walk in and sit down
right.
and somehow got into the system? How many of them? And how many of them are retiring now with these $190,000 a year retirements that we had a story about a couple of weeks ago?
Again, he gave 3.5 hours worth of testimony for an answer that you would have thought, if there was a clear answer, it would have taken him 5 seconds to get it out of his mouth.
How do you not know who hired you?
Right.
But here's a further thing. We talked about that. Everybody talks about that. There are all kinds of stories. Sort of forgotten in this whole thing is the crime
right.
that started it in the first place.
Right.
Why is it because the media, I don't think the public is particularly hanging on this business.
That, no.
The public would be more interested in did he do it or did he not do it.
Right.
And this woman, if she is a victim, should certainly get her due.
Right.
But that doesn't seem to be part of the media stories anymore.
No, it really isn't. And it's a terrific point to make because especially now when you have women speaking out about these
yes,
acts that
yes.
are done
Where
to them.
Where are they out there now yelling about this?
Right, right. Precisely. I don't know if there are more holes in Katie Brennan's story than some other stories that have been out there. I really do not know what happened between the two of them. Alvarez says it was consensual. She says that it was not. They both seem to acknowledge that something happened, and in her case, it would have been extramarital.
Yeah.
But yeah, that really has been lost.
It's gotten lost in the whole thing.
Yeah.
Would it be fair to say that had this been a Republican administration, you might have people out yelling in the street, the Me Too people? Who tend to be liberals, or at least the people organizing it.
It's quite possible. It's a
but
thought.
But you don't know that.
It's a thought that has crossed my mind. However, you look at so much of what has happened in our society as a whole, you know, you don't get a much bigger symbol for liberals than Harvey Weinstein. And of course, people were all over him.
Yeah.
So that's tough to say.
Whatever came of that, I think has he gone to trial? I think he was about to.
I think it was postponed.
But they put these things off. I think it's a great trick of the legal system. Now, you are guaranteed a speedy trial.
Right.
But I suppose if you don't want one, I think you don't have to take one. Maybe that's how this works.
And that's what Bob Kraft from the owner of the New England Patriots is weighing right now in this prostitution case that unraveled in Florida. They offered him a plea deal where the charges would be dropped, but he would have to admit that a court would have found him guilty.
Mm. But they dragged this on and on and on.
Yeah.
How long, getting back to something that did have a New Jersey 101.5L, the Carton case.
Right.
Which apparently there's going to be a sentencing of Craig Carton, who worked here. I guess you know the story. He became a New York sportscaster and was indicted on a whole laundry list of financial crimes, big time ones. And that was a few years ago when he was collared, and then they had, I guess, the grand jury found true bill.
Right.
And then he was chosen one, and it finally got to court. But it looks like what happens with these things, and I know individual cases other than that, and not as famous, where if the lawyers can just put this off and off and off and off. Now, the judge had deferred the sentencing of Carton, as I read, because his lawyers pled that they had to have time for psychological evaluation.
Yes.
Why didn't you do that 2 years, in the last 2 years?
Right.
Or something.
Right.
But I think what the hope is, and it's probably true, everything dies down, people have moved on to something else, including the judge.
Right.
and it's kind of old hat.
Yeah.
So the system can be played. Ain't no doubt about that.
Oh, yeah.
Regardless of what we're told.
Yeah. And in some cases, I mean, just as you illustrated, yes, you have the right to a speedy trial.
Uh-huh.
That doesn't always mean that you want one.
That you don't want one if you got enough to pay the lawyers endlessly. What else is going on? Now, speaking of jurisprudential matters in the state of New Jersey, this is something that just crossed my mind. Now, maybe I shouldn't say this because it would give somebody an insight into my mind, and there would be some questions raised. I read that.
You need to give you a psychological evaluation?
I got a psychological evaluation. But dog laws. I read a report that some community had passed a dog barking ordinance.
Right. This was up in, Bergen County.
In Bergen County,
Saddle River,
plethora of towns.
Right.
Okay, they had passed a dog barking ordinance.
Right.
Now, I didn't read it, but I would warn people in towns who want to create a dog barking ordinance. Be very careful, because you could back yourself into a syntactical trap. Now, here it is. These laws say that a dog cannot continuously bark for certain number of minutes.
Yeah, I think during daytime hours, it's more than 15 minutes. And for daytime hours, it's more than 20 minutes. And in the overnight, it's more than 15 minutes.
But you see, you have got to be careful here, because there is also continual, not continuous, but continual barking.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Which is, that is repeated in the same way, but there's time in between.
Sure.
It's interval barking.
Right.
And so if you pass a law and you say continual barking, then that means that if the dog is barking, he could bark for 3 hours, but if he stops to take a breath, you start the clock all over again.
Oh, yeah, and this is...
So the whole thing doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
This is very easy to conceive. If you have a dog who sits in your front window all day and barks every time a car drives by, that's dependent on how many cars drive by. But that could go on for 8 hours.
Of course. Well, I've got a similar situation across the street from me.
Yeah.
These people take in dogs, apparently, that nobody else will.
Mm.
And I can see why they won't, because they never stop barking.
Right.
Now, I can take a bark, a big dog, but the yapping machines get me.
That's what we have. We have a little poodle, and if we do not... when we have people over at our place, when we are having a party or we're having some sort of gathering, if we literally do not, and he's 7 pounds, If we do not pick him up and carry him around, he barks continuously because...
Without interruption or gaps.
Right. Because he is so little that he's intimidated by people standing around because they're so much bigger than he is. So that's his way of, asserting his presence.
But, you know, again, I was talking about across the street. This has been going on for years. They're very nice people. I mean, you know, you don't know what to do because it drives you nuts.
Right.
They have about four dogs over there, and they'll just bark and bark and bark and bark. Now, and it's a very narrow street, and across the street where we are, we have the dogs. Right now, we have the three Dobermans and the pit bull.
Yep.
And they have been trained very quickly to not bark unless there's... And people can do that if they want. Why go to the trouble? So our dogs, these things will start going as soon as they see our dogs. The dogs will walk up to the fence and look at them and kind of shake their head. And then wander off.
What I think is silliest about this is, and I think I have the numbers right, is even on the overnight, the 20-minute versus the 15-minute threshold, if you're hearing a dog bark nonstop, how much worse is 20 minutes going to be than 15? You've already heard him bark for 15. What's another 5?
Oh, no, yeah. Why 15 or 20 in the first place?
I'm not even sure.
See, a dog cannot bark continuously for 20 minutes.
Right.
He'd die, I hope. He would.
I have this vision
because people, again, I have learned to absolutely abominate what's called the Jack Russell Terrier.
Right.
Because this thing just never shut up, and he's vicious. He would keep grabbing the fence, you know, and shaking it, trying to go after everybody. But I had this vision of a time machine. I will go back 100 years to England, and I'll find the Reverend John Russell, who invented the species. I would either incapacitate him, exile him, or do him in somehow or other. So that you wouldn't have this. I'm going to make a movie about that sometime. All right, well, so much for dog barking. Just a couple of things, I guess. There's a story I saw this morning, which you would know, on NJ 101.5. The kid who said he was denied the national honors.
Right.
Because he did not wear. This is how this gets so damn silly. And you wonder, where is this coming from? How long can people put up with this?
Right.
He was wearing a T-shirt that said, "Make Homedale Great Again." Homedale's a very, very nice town in Monmouth County. "Make Homedale Great Again."
Yeah.
And so he becomes an outcast because that sounds almost like "Make America Great Again," the Trump thing.
Right.
So in his view, he was denied, even though he was a 4.0 average over the whole course of school. He did enormous amount of community service and the like. He can't get in because he wore a shirt that somehow was almost a parody of something that the left doesn't like. And this is the education system.
And we did this story in depth this morning, and this was a kid who's spoken with us in the past, and he's very articulate, obviously a good student. And he said he used that slogan and put it on T-shirts as part of his campaign for class president because he wanted to... He says he is a President Trump supporter, and he wanted to play off of that slogan from 2016.
It's natural. You take a big, well-known slogan. You adapt it to yourself.
Sure.
And yet he's kept out of the... There was a story, I don't remember the name, one of the upscale women's colleges. I used to be. I don't know. It's probably co-ed now. The students who were actually running things, the inmates are running the academic asylum nowadays, they all decided that he should be fired. Because he had made a suggestion, I think he's a history professor, that maybe we should, the kids on a college campus, there should be some kind of a dialogue between people with different points of view.
Right.
So that if you have one point of view, if you're liberal, then you have a person who doesn't have to be a hardcore fanatical right-wing person, but just a person with different views to come in and debate this. Well, instead of saying yes or no, or we don't think that's a good idea, or, oh, great, let's do that.
Right.
They try to have him fired, and the school apparently is going to do it.
Yeah, it's
for no other reason.
It's ridiculous, and there needs to be. I think no matter what side of an argument you come down on, you have to appreciate the counterpoint. You have to appreciate that mm-hmm. there even is one to begin with.
But the way you put that, you see, does not apply because they do not believe you have to.
Right.
Their
right.
belief is that you mm-hmm. should not.
Yeah.
At all in any conceivable way, because you are right and they are wrong. And it really has gotten like the medieval church.
Yeah.
Really. As Pope Innocent III famously said in the 11th century, mm-hmm. anyone who holds an opinion of God mm-hmm. that is not in concert with church doctrine should be burned without mercy.
Right. Right.
And they would do that. I had a list here of things that the, what is the alphabet group, which I can never keep straight, LPQ, LSMFT.
Oh, yeah, LGBT,
X minus 3 over square root of pi R
carry
square.
Carry the 1. Yeah.
Anyway, they came out, and I don't know that every person who is, belongs to that or is in that, that category, I don't know if everybody believes this, but this is what the leadership said. They had said that anyone who does not hold a positive opinion about their goals or what would you
right.
call it, their proclivities, activities, or what have you, should be put in gulags. They should be declared mentally deficient.
Right.
And the state should set up gulags like they did in Russia.
Mm.
If you hadn't done enough to actually go way out into Siberia
right.
and work in the salt mines as a criminal, then you could go to these sort of mid things that were for mentally deficient people who had defied the tenets of Lenin.
Yeah.
Now, it goes on there that they should be put, are mentally deficient, the government should set up gulags, and then from there you get camps. This is how this progresses in totalitarian
right.
situations.
Right.
Prisons next,
mm-hmm.
and then finally extermination.
Yeah.
And I don't think these people would hesitate at that. But I say these people, I'm not talking about the rank and file member, people who vote Democratic.
Right.
They're in the middle.
Right.
They're between, you know, they don't know whether to caca or go blind, you know, over this, at least the people I talk to.
Yeah.
But it's amazing. Take all of this stuff. You don't have to get into a whole litany of it. I've run into so many people, and the first thing they say is, what the hell is going on?
Yeah.
And, again, just kind of following a stream of consciousness here, I think some of the Democratic candidates are doing something that's extremely dangerous, especially our local, Spartacus.
Right, Cory Booker.
Yeah, because what they're doing, they're building a coalition of essentially, I like the way that the president of Starbucks, when he was said that he was going to
Howard
run,
Schultz,
thinking of it,
right.
he said that he was tired of the politics of revenge. And
yes.
you see, this is what they're doing. Now, as we find out, the people now who want to get noticed or want to achieve something, they do not want to aspire to be heroes as we knew them. They want to be victims. Look at that actor in, where was it?
Chicago. Jussie Smollett.
Yeah.
Right.
That the highest thing, the highest accomplishment, what gets you the most in entitlements and attention
right.
is being a victim,
right.
not being a hero.
Right.
Not saving an old lady from being run over by a streetcar,
I mean, this
but
is,
by
yeah.
pretending that you're a victim.
It is the classic textbook dictionary definition of martyrdom.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. So he climbs up and hangs himself on the cross,
right.
and everybody, you know, goes along with it mm-hmm. for a while without even thinking or checking. But
right.
my point is that they have discovered, the far left, some of these radicals have discovered, I don't know what took them so long, that in a sense you've got a huge population out there who
yeah.
consider themselves victims. They either have been, in many cases, surely,
yeah.
but otherwise they have been persuaded they are.
Right.
Or they look and say, hey, you know, there's something in it. Victimhood begets entitlement.
Yeah.
And so people have seen this. So there's a lot of them. So what you do, eventually, you create a system or an ideology in which, okay, it's time for revenge.
Right.
Because every victim wants revenge
right.
on whoever
right.
victimized it. And so this is where you're going. I think all these people out there, they're looking for revenge.
Yeah.
Not just for some political advantage or to pursue an ideology. They want to exterminate those whom they feel have oppressed them or denied them some kind of a right.
Well, and this gets back to the whole thing where we started with this with the college professor. You have to allow, even if you don't believe it even exists, you really should make the space in your personal philosophy to allow for the possibility of a counterpoint to what you believe. Because if you think that what you believe is right, if you let the person you think is wrong go on and on and on and on, eventually they will either, you know, convince you, or they will prove themselves wrong, as you initially thought they would be. But to just say there is no second side to an argument is a fallacy of human nature.
And it's winning.
Right. Yeah.
I had this thing with Michael Moore. I think I've mentioned this before.
Yeah.
Michael Moore said, and he's a pretty astute guy.
Yeah.
He used to be funny. Right. Now sometimes you wonder. But he said that there is no more a middle ground. What's her name? Occasional Cortez.
Right.
He said, Michael Moore says Democrats need to accept the fact that far left Ocasio-Cortez is the party leader. There's no middle ground anymore.
Yeah.
And he's talking about moderates that forget being a moderate. Either mm-hmm. you're on one far side of this or the other, because this is what this whole movement on the left is somehow fractionalizing this into two completely opposite bands. It's like the army is gathering on the sides of the plain of Megiddo,
mm-hmm.
and you're waiting for somebody to yell charge. But there's no middle ground. I think he's got an excellent point.
Well,
because the Democrats are letting this radical tail wag the dog.
And
nobody's stopping it.
There's been pressure for years for people to pick a political side. I've talked before about the stage musical and the movie 1776. And John Adams, in the script of the musical, has an argument with John Dickinson of Pennsylvania, who was famously against the Declaration, did not sign it, left the Continental Congress, in fact. And Adams says to him at one point, and I hope I'm getting this correct, you know, you're just so cool and considerate on every issue. You hang to the rear on everything so that if we should go under, you'll still remain afloat. Which yeah. I think is a lot of what's going on right now. You have people who are on this ideological boat, and there are people going to one side and people going to the other, and the people in the middle are saying, well, if we don't go to either side, you know,
yeah.
they're going to be out of balance.
Oh, you're hedging the bet.
We're going to tip over.
You're right. Hedging the bet.
Yeah.
It's like Episcopalians who generally don't really believe, you know, all this religious stuff, but
right.
you're going to go and throw a few bucks in the plate just because you don't know.
Uh-huh.
Well, you see, what this gets back to fundamentally is really interesting. Everybody is joining in some kind of one or another, a communal delusion, if you want.
Right.
Because none of these ideologies, none of this stuff is real.
Right.
It's all a delusion, and the whole world runs by mass delusions. Now, all we're doing is sitting here riding a rock through space. Nobody knows where it's going, where it came
right.
from. So what is all this about?
Mm.
And I'm very serious about this.
Sure.
I think that you're buying into, like, political parties, you're buying into ideologies because they're purely works of imagination.
Right.
But somebody has convinced you, or leaders have come up and somehow gotten these people, you know, squeezed into the matrix of a delusion. And then this delusion bursts at some point in history, and another one sets in.
Yeah.
We used to be religion,
for
by and large. I'm not trying to knock it, but by and large, this is not the same belief one had in the Middle Ages.
Right.
Where one could be born, one could lead a horrible life, the peasants, or anybody else. But you were reasonably happy because you know you're going to go to heaven and you're going to get a reward.
Right.
Nobody believes that anymore.
Right.
They say, this is it. Oh, my God. Kierkegaard was right.
Right.
Oh, what am I going to do?
Yeah. Why isn't it better than this now?
Yeah.
Right.
But so everybody wants, I think the basic thing everybody is after is somehow in the light of that, wanting to feel that their life has some value, because purely scientifically, your life doesn't have any value at all. If you want to throw out the supernatural, the mnemonic, there's no point.
Right.
So I love, and I'll just say this kind of an ending here, because I think one of the most profound things ever written was a little short thing by Kurt Vonnegut, and I think it was in the Cat's Cradle. he had this little short paragraph thing.
Yeah.
That God came down one day to the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve were there. And to make it short, because I've done this before, ask how things were going. You know, God comes down and says, hey, Adam's happening, man. And so he said, well, it's beautiful. Everything is lovely. You made the woman. I love the woman. Now, this is just great. The food's good, you know, heaven. Well, only one problem. And God said, well, what's your problem? He said, well, what's the point? What's the meaning of this life?
Right.
And God said, well, life has to have a meaning, your life. He said, well, yeah, everything has to have a meaning. God sort of scratched his chin, or I guess his beard if you're a fundamentalist, and, and said, well, you know, I'll leave it up to you to come up with one.
Yeah.
And then God left.
Mm-hmm.
That's profound.
Yeah.
That's where we are now.
Sure.
We do not have the God anymore. We're sitting here, we're looking for, but I think the, in order to live a satisfying life, you and people who are in a position to think about it. Some people are working so hard and so distracted they don't. But people who want to contemplate the meaning of their lives, you almost have to come up with one. Kierkegaard's what famous leap of faith.
Mm-hmm.
You get to the end of the line, just look around, see what's available, to believe in that.
Yeah.
But I think people, what they're really after is something that makes them feel as if they are part of something.
Yes.
And so there's some meaning to their life.
Mm-hmm.
Because they can't say anymore, like the famous New England primer, man was born to glorify God and do, you know, such and such and such. And not, again, trying to disparage people who believe that literally.
Mm.
That's fine.
Yeah.
But if you take the mill run of people in this country,
they
look a little bit askance at that.
Mm.
So I think this is what's going on, and we haven't found anything, this common ground for everybody. So you get it built into these... what I call communal delusions.
Right.
Huge amounts of people believing something that essentially was made up.
Exactly.
So I rest my case.
I love that phrase, and I think it's one that we probably will come back to in the weeks ahead as we continue to kind of figure out why people aren't figuring this out.
I just got a couple of things here.
Yeah.
I just read it. A politically correct thing. The University of California hosted a teach-in to explain that a student who went on a stabbing spree did not do so because, or he did that. He did that because of masculinity and not terrorism. After all, the fact that he was found with a photo of an ISIS flag and the fact that reminders to pray to Allah and a manifesto about how much he wanted to behead his classmates were found among his belongings. But that was not enough evidence. or the school to charge him. So it was his masculinity, no doubt his white privilege, if he was white or other privilege. If he
what did he need? A permission slip from ISIS?
I that wouldn't have mattered. you get a free. See, that brings up another thing we don't have time to get into. I want to get into this thing. The Fox News, I think, is dying.
Mm.
As we have known it by this, whatever they did with Jeanine Pirro for asking a perfectly logical question of a political person. All right, a couple more here. This is apparently collectively what's happening is part of this whole loony left business is to eliminate gender.
Right.
Now, how you do that, you remember at one time they were having males, I guess, they're urging them to. It looks like, I don't know, it appeared some of these universities are having these seminars to damn people. People would come and confess they were male. I suppose you're supposed to emasculate yourself and go down and drop the equipment in a slot in the door, a night deposit box, you know, on your way out. But whatever it is, they're eliminating that. At Kansas University, Student Senate voted totally to eliminate pronouns such as his or her from school documents because they are microaggressions against the students who don't use them.
Yeah. It's you see this all the time on Twitter. You see this in people's biographies, little blurbs about themselves on Twitter, on their profile. They tell you which pronouns to use for them. and actually, this has been kind of in the pop culture news this week. The singer Sam Smith, who's a youngish guy, probably late 20s, I would say, has come out as what they call non-binary. He said, "I don't identify as either a man or a woman."
What does he identify as? Did he give any hint?
I I would guess, I don't know what the pronoun is. I don't know if
there,
it would be
no word.
It.
Well, remember, they were doing trons at one time.
Yeah.
This was the women's movement when that was big.
Yeah.
That they did you know that they had in New Jersey a department funded in the budget for, I think it was $350,000 a year or so, for people to sit and go through all legislation pending and strike out any where it said man or men.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Huh.
And you had to replace it with man or woman or every even going into past legislation. That's what they sat there all day and did.
You know, this brings to mind something, one of the great political pranks, I think, that has ever been played. And it's somewhat more lightweight than this. When Barack Obama took office in 2009, his staff moved into the White House, and George W. Bush's staff, as a way of saying goodbye and good luck and we'll see ya, W. Bush's staff had removed all the letter W's from all computer keyboards in the White House.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, my God. Let us in. I think we've come to the end of the line here. Let's show a little stream of consciousness today. Because this is what we think about. A poem, I don't know who wrote this. It's just a little short bit of doggery that says, Providence, which watches over children, drunkards, and fools with silent miracles and other esoterica. Please continue to suspend the ordinary rules and bless the United States of America. I rest my case.
Thanks for listening to the new Jim Gerhart Podcast.
Still cooking, and it's bigger than ever.
From NJ1015.com.